well, so that if they want to take some time away from their practice so they can learn, we have grants available for doctors to be able to do that as well.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you for including patients in this dialogue. I think that's really important in moving forward.
Well, thank you. I think I'm sad sometimes that we don't have a wider adoption of the principles of caring for our patients in the way that most of the ILADS doctors that I've interacted with do. But I think the only way we can actually expand that is to keep working on our mission, which is to educate more doctors and providers and more healthcare professionals, just to learn more, because there's so much to know. Every year that I go, I learn, I come back with new information. In fact, my staff is always like, oh no, what's she going to come back and change at the office? And it's usually not a huge change, but implementing a few new things that just make our care a little bit better even than it was before. If that's what happens after the meeting, that's, I feel like that was a successful thing. So,
yeah, that's great. And I mean, like you mentioned earlier, it's about getting down to that root cause. And I think there's going to be a lot of crossover into other illnesses that people experience that, you know, trying to solve this problem is going to lend to solutions for other medical issues as well.
For sure. This year, there are a couple of lectures. We've had some before, and they're always so good, about the neuropsychiatric cases that may have a root cause based in a persistent infection or a neurologic infection. And then even, I hate to mention COVID, but it's on everybody's minds these days as far as approaching patient care. And we're going to have some discussion as well about those patients and how Lyme disease or other tick-borne or vector-borne diseases might have an impact on the course of their COVID illness and or vice versa. Just looking at how does all of that relate back to inflammation, immune health, chronic illness, and then maybe one of the most important parts for me is like, what are some things we can do for those patients?
Right. Well, I think those will be really exciting speakers to hear. And I think everyone's really ready to hear that research as well.
Absolutely.
So what could success look like in the future for working with people, tick-borne illnesses?
I think if we were able to recognize, I'm going to call them vector-borne because some mm-hmm. of them are, from fleas and maybe right. other little insects. From vector-borne illnesses, if we were able to recognize them earlier in the course of disease, we could probably prevent a lot more of the chronic, heavy cost, heavy suffering illnesses that we treat. I mean, a lot of us see patients who've been sick for 10 years or 15 years.
Right.
And those poor patients, honestly, have already gotten into a sickness cycle that's challenging to break out of. And it's still very much worth the try. But sometimes it's sad that we didn't catch it sooner and start to work on it sooner so that we didn't develop such a chronic problem. So to me, success in treating Lyme would be earlier detection, earlier treatment, and treating well enough so that it doesn't relapse or progress over that person's lifetime.
Definitely. And then do you have any other closing comments for us, Dr. Offit?
Well, I think I actually know a few Canadians, and I've always thought they were some of the most friendly and most enjoyable people to be around. And I'm really hoping that everything falls into line so that we can have some of our Canadian friends who are interested in Lyme education and vector-borne diseases and overall immune health and immune strength that can join us in Orlando for our meeting this year. And if anybody is, concerned about anything related to that meeting, I do want to assure anyone that's considering attending that we will be I actually believe that most of us are responsible for our own health. And part of that is the lifestyle medicine angle that I take with patients. If we're healthier and stronger, we're less likely to get as sick from any disease. But we will be holding a meeting that should be a nice, wonderful experience for everyone that's there. And the resort that we chose is beautiful. If people come and bring family members, there will be a lot of fun things for them to do. And we're going to be somewhat isolated within the resort as our group. So I think if anybody's worried about being in a crowded city place with strangers, that shouldn't be a concern. And I'm just hoping between now and then that if anybody has any concerns about that, they can reach out to us and let us know, and we can share with them some of our plans.
Oh, that's great. I really appreciate that additional information. I think that'll really help people and know that they can connect with you to get any questions answered. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Offit, and thank you very much for your leadership as well.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Amy Offit is the medical director and co-owner of Heart and Soul Integrative Health and Yoga in Marble Falls, Texas. She's also an ILADS board member. Can Lyme is offering grants to physicians and healthcare professionals to attend their conference or any of the virtual learning opportunities. Go to our podcast website, lookingatlyme.ca, for more information. Thank you again, Dr. Offit, for joining us. That's another podcast. Remember, stay safe in the outdoors.
On Monday, February 27, SFU Faculty of Health Sciences and BC Center of Disease Control will be presenting an African Ancestry Project through Zoom. This event will be done through lectures, seminars, and workshops by Alice Mirage, a researcher and PhD candidate with the Faculty of Health Sciences. She will be presenting her research findings from the report on the African Ancestry Project and discuss the impacts of this work on health research. Go to the SFU Black History Month website for more information and the Zoom link. Don't miss this opportunity to learn her findings.
This is Bird Note. For such a small owl, the northern saw-whet has a lot to say, and a lot of ways to say it. Male saw-whets weigh about as much as a stack of $7 half-dollar coins, comparable to an American robin, and they send out at least 11 different calls. When agitated or threatened, the saw-whet gives what ornithologists describe as a decidedly uncanny, high-pitched meow. Or a harsh and startlingly loud staccato, high-pitched bark. Males give toot, toot, toot advertising calls from late January through May. In part, the rate of calling is determined by the nighttime temperature. There's also a positive correlation between call rate and the amount of old-growth forest near the heart of a bird's territory. And perhaps to keep other saw-whets out of a food-rich territory, males may toot more frequently in years when their favorite prey, white-footed mice and deer mice, are plentiful. So if the toot-toot-tooting gets monotonous, keep listening. You may hear something truly hair-raising. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
And then we have an encore presentation from our collaboration or series with SFU Galleries. They're listening to pictures series. Today we're going to be giving you a presentation of Christian Visten and Kiel Torres speaking on Roy Kiyuka. This is from The Listening to Pictures.
This is Listening to Pictures, artists on the SFU Art Collection, a radio program from SFU Galleries featuring voices of artists with lived experience on the West Coast who reflect on their favorite artists and works in the SFU Art Collection. And we're your hosts. I'm SFU Galleries Director Kimberly Phillips.
And I'm Publications and Special Projects Coordinator Karina Irvin. The SFU Art Collection consists of over 5,800 works and was established soon after the university's founding in 1965. The collection is unique in its capacity to trace the complex social and cultural life connected to this region and remains open to new inquiries and stories as they surface.
For Listening to Pictures, we invited artists to select a work from the collection and consider why it is meaningful to them, to reflect upon the memories or associations it calls up, the relationships it maps, and the political and cultural context from which it emerged. An accompanying suite of limited edition cards, each picturing one of the selected artworks, which you can order from SFU Gallery's website, is offered as a visual reference while listening.
All recordings were developed by the artists themselves, resulting in unique approaches to the artworks they chose, from lecture-style meditations and poetic tributes to political commentary and collaborative sonic experiments. Each invited artist's response, then, is a creative extension of their own practice.
This program was inspired by a 1964 CBC radio program of the same name, hosted by the renowned art historian Dr. Jean Sutherland Boggs. To find out more about the program, download episode transcripts, image descriptions, or other resources, or to subscribe to receive a set of printed cards, visit our website at sfugalleries.sfu.ca. In this second episode of Listening to Pictures, we hear from Christian Visten and Kiel Torres on Roy Kiyuka. Roy Kiyuka, who lived from 1926 to 1994, was a painter, photographer, musician, and poet. His legacy is still profoundly felt in artistic and literary circles on the Northwest Coast. A regular participant in the Emma Lake Artist Workshops in the 1950s in Saskatchewan, Kiyuka moved to Vancouver in the 1960s and taught at the Vancouver School of Art, where he explored various modes of abstraction. Visten and Torres honor Kiyuka's work with a poetic response provoked by viewing his silkscreen print, Number 3 Court, from 1971. They question how meaning is made through language, shapes, reflexes, and memory. While Visten and Torres move through an exchange of impressions and relations, their dialogue embodies the playful and confined parlay of a court game.
Kiel Torres is a writer and editor who lives and works on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Her work considers friendship, reading, embodiment, and fandom as apparatuses to navigate social and emotional worlds. Torres is a 2022 curatorial resident at ArtSpeak and holds a BA in Art History from the University of British Columbia. Christian Visten is an artist from the peninsula now known as Bataan, Philippines, currently living and working on unceded and traditional Musqueam, Squamish, Tsawwassen, and Tsleil-Waututh territories. They run Dreams, Delta with Obin Kwan, a space for artist projects and exhibitions located inside their family home in Delta, BC.
This fog waylays a mountain, capped with unsung. Roy Kiyuka, all amazed in the runnels of his 60 winters.
We drove up the mountain to look at court. Following Christina's directions to the university, to the parking lot, across the quad, look for a door down. Large outdoor artworks mark the university's grounds. We orient ourselves with the sculptures. A pyramid, a corresponding hill, a concrete plinth, the red door. It's a new year. In the school's mostly empty halls. This architecture isn't supposed to be busy. It's not to be occupied by people. Or at least it wasn't that day. You could see it. a place as architecture, architecture as a place. Can you see yourself going here? We picture a breakdown. Outside the collection room, three wooden figures weave knees, watches. They keep moving around, straddling the school's hallway ruin. A decommissioned printing press, abandoned construction materials, a door between relics and garbage, an unattributed sunflower, sheets stacked, what collects and what finds their place.
Court was part of a set of 10 screen prints, donated to the university in 1998, made in 1971. Court looked like part of a series, though nothing in the archive indicated so. Loosely related by color and form. The rest were titled after places and their people. Iberian, Haida, Osaka, Polynesian, Corinth, Ottoman. A court as a place, its people. Who's in the court? What game do we play? What game do we place? The court delineates space for rules. Rules mark the space we write. We divide our doc into sections, turning the text into a table, writing beside and under each other's writing. I glance over to your column.
The print was bigger than we thought. Imagine masking, shuffling windows as a way to unsee, to write, to screen, parts masked and muted and layered, building. The violet part over the purple part, with the silver part and the blue parts and the green parts, they court. I unsee color where color overtakes and touches hot. Our names interweave in the transcript. CK, 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 CK like a monogram, a cloth out of conversation in its speakers. Tonight's questions, how do you cheat in writing? Is it when words come before meaning? Is it getting away with apathy?
You say cheating is about the ratio of thinking to saying, and writing most of the things you think, like rejecting an economy in your words. Is cheating the same as freeing? Is it cheating or freeing to skip the part of writing a whole? Detaching?
Fragments are the language of the day. Mine's really short. Want me to start? You and your poem, the notes at the bottom, the second part. I sort of listened to the lady in the video when she said, breathe your body into crimping, capital C, my poem, cool. It's all very vocal, like circular breathing. Breathe your body into, I love you.
In your poem, what's a whippet? What's a weapon? Inhale, compressed air. Also the dog that Jack said he'd be. Hi, puppy.
Oh, remembering something like hyphen. I kind of disagree with myself, so I changed the poem. I wanted to emphasize my constitution, all the different parts, the constituents of the text you. The you is a you. You, the end of the year's a year.
It was James and Reiko talking in different places. Where is the other?
Maybe this doesn't matter.
Maybe this doesn't matter. So Reiko started taking cold showers. I can't imagine anything more stressful, but maybe it's nice. Both desserts, lol. Do you miss him?
This is why, is this why, this is, why is this, knots exist in space, or knots are not situated, they're floating. When they're being made. Once they're knotted, they become in relation to things.
Beads on the cake made for sweet roe, a dark computer and a really humid day. Court is also romantic. To court is to crush. To court is to woo. To court is to peruse. To court is to pursue. On the highway, I read you a list from my book. The adjectives I have in my head currently about the type of person my crush might be. Apprehensive, earnest, egoistic, tedious, magnetic, unavailable, adoring.
The first time I read his writing, it was with you at another university, a poem inscribed on a plaque, text on a bench, though I'm not sure, near a tree, surely. Remember that line, place, day, fog, in my book. You wait sitting next to another plaque while I sat next to a stranger in the bathroom.
You remembered Lisa there, where she wrote about the plaque, where this place began.
We meet this place. We impose our associations, writing over each other's memories. When we were here and who we were with, how does a text place?
Remember how Matilda places, how Roy places, Richmond, the Westminster Highway. How you place, our crush on the city, our family going downtown, how we place. Remember my mom driving my dad to work before the buses were up. Remember a friend and I talking about learning about our position. Remember the first time I asked someone about reading gay. Do you read gay? Corey affirms the queer subject position. You affirm my positionality as a reader. Reading gay, reading against, the grains. Reading the grains, reading grains. Reading wrong, but reading for you. It's kind of like being honest, or not being on it, not it.
Puffed rice ripens in my studio. Pillowy absorbs crush. My crush is in the room. What's honest? Is it saying how you feel? On another bench at New Brighton, reading our library copies of the same book, corresponding what page we're on, across editions, across covers, how did we arrive to sit and read? Thinking in the mountain, the fog keeps the peak to itself. I'm thinking about still. It's different when the fog blocks, but because we're on top of the mountain, we could see the cities.
We find heat in waylay. Lay in the way, lay in wait. Being on the motivated side of a surprise. I misunderstood it as trapping in conversation, like neighbors in a stairwell, a soft cornering, or being on the phone with another things to say, parlay. Roy makes a playful waylay out of the suffocating. His is not an ambush, but a tease. The movement is different. That movement feels like court. Are there missing gestures? Fog throbs.
This podcast was organized by Kimberly Phillips and Karina Irvin at SFU Galleries with audio production by Jean Paizeau. The accompanying image cards were designed by Information Office. Listening to Pictures has been made possible with generous support from the Canada Council for the Arts Digital Now program and is produced in partnership with CJSF FM. SFU Galleries is supported by Simon Fraser University, the Canada Council for the Arts, and the BC Arts Council, along with numerous foundations, community partners, donors, and volunteers. We are especially grateful for the visionary support of the Marianne and Edward Gibson Trust.
Little Sims is a British rapper who is currently sitting atop the Earshot National Top 50 for the last few weeks. That's the national chart that tracks airplay at campus community stations all across country. She has a new album out, came out in December, called No Thank You. And this track here is Heart on Fire.
Honesty between the seller and the buyer should be a given, but man, I didn't know you were a liar. Dropped out of college, still I made it through the wire. We was trying to hustle whatever was 10 just for a fiver. Don't sell yourself short, miss, said the driver. I was on my way to getting caught in a crossfire. I mean, lavish living, dripping designer. Who you wearing? They're so enchanted by attire. Hearts on fire, bought the dream with every penny that I acquired. This is set up and you'll be next up to those prior. Devil works hard, but the business works harder. I vowed from now to work smarter. They won't do it like us. For the people by us, why they wanna fight our spirit on higher. God made truth of everything I desire. I'll need much as long as I got my baby, he a rider. He's sitting beside her, that's who she confide in. They want you conniving, creeping with your side ting, making up a story that equals somebody buying. New world order, cause life as we know is dying. Not thriving, it's only a matter of timing. Ain't it just funny how you can literally give your everything? Somebody gonna turn around and tell you you ain't gave enough. Danger, what you afraid of? Acknowledging it's impossible now to restrain her. Worst thing I could have done is put trust in a stranger. But that needed to happen for me only to wake up. The shoots will get in your ear when your shit popping. Lies overflowing and they ain't stopping. You don't even recognize who it is that you're becoming. They don't give a shit long as the gravy train running.
My life is a blessing.
Off so pure, do it for the love, nothing more. Nah, maybe to cop mama house, but nothing more. Maybe to sort my cousin out, but nothing more. Maybe I'll get a new coupe, nothing more. 50 to 100 shoes, nothing more. By the time you know it, that list never stopped growing, and you don't know what you even do this for. Hearts on fire, hearts on Randall. Ballroom gowns and champagne pours. Is the after party a social party? With everybody talking, the music should have been paused. Marble floors and tall glass doors is what you're in for. Did you read the clause? It was never about looking for results now. Every time you do something, you need an applause. Please keep your head on when you're going through the maze, cause navigating the fame is something you're never trained for. Tell me what you came for. Wanted better days and now you're running away from that very thing you prayed for. Tell me, am I tripping or is the light blinding? Am I anxious or am I excited? Am I calm or am I unbothered? Or maybe I needed my fire to be ignited. Hearts on.
My life is a blessing.
Little Sims from her album No Thank You. That's Heart on Fire. Her new album is at the top of the Earshot National Top 50, has been for a few weeks now. The new chart comes out tomorrow night. You can check it out at earshot-online.com. Find out what's happening and hot on campus stations across Canada. You've been listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Magnus Thiebald. I've been your host for the last hour. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with Vivian in the host chair. And I'll be back next Monday at 10 a.m. With another edition of What's Up in Burnaby and a lot more great content for you. Hope you're going to stay, keep listening to CJSF today. There's lots more good stuff coming up on the station, starting with Democracy Now! in about 1 minute. Up at noon is Wandering Rhythms with Nick Legacy. 2 o'clock, Generic Alternative with Alex Morris. And up at 3 p.m., typically Tuesday, with Jade and Leslie. Lots more great stuff coming up on CJSF. Okay, stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up in just a few minutes. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. Coming to you from Burnaby, British Columbia. Hope you've enjoyed the program today.